I kind of want to recap what we studied last week. The Bible study last week, the message last week was on resurrection power. Resurrection power. And it was from Ephesians 1. If you got a Bible there, I know I put some Bibles out, but it's from Ephesians 1, verses 18 through 20. I pray also, Paul is writing to the Ephesians, the people he ministered to. He's writing them a letter, and he says that he's telling them that he cares about them. He's thinking about them, and he says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know or experience the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And in celebration of Easter, Resurrection Day, I thought it was appropriate to speak on resurrection power. Paul is saying to the Ephesians and to us, I pray that you would know and experience the same power from God that raised Jesus Christ up from the dead. His incomparably great, dunamis, miraculous working power for those of us who doubt. Now, what does he say? For those of us who... He says, for those of us who believe. Believe in what? Believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Believe in the resurrection and believe in God the Father. Faith in God the Father. Faith is knowing that you know deep down on the inside that Father God can do that miracle in your life. And he says it. He says, I pray that you would know this incomparably great power for those of you who believe. And this power is like the power that God exhibited when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And friends, we as believers today, thousands of years later, can experience this resurrection-like power in our lives. And, you know, we as human beings are made up of so many different parts. Would you agree? Amen. We're made up of minds. We've got emotions. We got the relational part of our lives. We got the financial part of our lives. You know, we've got so many different areas in our lives. We've got the physical part of our lives, right? Our physical bodies. And you know what? There may be some area in your life today that may feel as good as dead. And last week we talked about the resurrection-like power of God coming into your mind. And maybe today you're dealing with mental illness. Maybe you feel as good as dead in your mind. And you know, some mental illness is demonically induced. You may be depressed on the inside. You may feel as good as dead on the inside. Maybe you're dealing with depression or you're dealing with schizophrenia or some other type of mental illness. I'm here to tell you today that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead can be manifested in your mind. You can experience resurrection in your mind if you believe. Believe in Jesus Christ, believe in the resurrection, and believe that God the Father can do a miracle for you. Amen?
Amen.
So this resurrection-like power of God can be made real in every part of your life. Is that making sense today?
Yeah.
Can be made real in your physical body. If you're sick in your body today, if your blood pressure is high, guess what? The resurrection-like power of God can come into effect in your physical bodies and make you whole. Do you agree with that today? So we talked about resurrection-like power. Today we're going to talk about Jesus having defeated sin and death. Jesus having defeated sin and death. And let's turn to Romans chapter 6 if you have a Bible. If not, I'll read it to you. Romans chapter 6. It says this. Verse 3. Talking to the Romans, people that he ministered to, he's writing them a letter and he says, and it applies to us as well, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Verse 9. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death has no longer any mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God in the same way. Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. He's talking about death in this passage and resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
Friends, in Christ Jesus, okay, how do we die to sin? So he's talking about baptism here, but he says that just as Jesus died upon the cross, in a likewise way, by baptism, those of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. So if you're one with Christ, then Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord. He says that you should be dead to sin. You see, sin once had a grip on us, you know, wanting us to bow to its pleasures, to what it wanted us to do. But if we're one with Christ, would you agree? Jesus went to the cross, right? On Good Friday, he died, right? We just celebrated Good Friday. If he went to the cross and we're united with him, we're one with him, we should also go to our cross and die to sin. Die to sin, would you agree? But we should also be resurrected to what? To new life in Christ Jesus. Amen? What does he say? He says in verse 9 of Romans 6, "For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him." You see, the Jewish priests, the people who did not like him in his country, they handed him over to the Romans to do what? 2,000 years ago. They handed him over to be what? To be crucified, right? So they crucified Jesus. It was a brutal death. It was a very humiliating form of death. And Jesus, after he was crucified, he was placed in a tomb. You remember that, right? But after 3 days, Jesus did what from the tomb? From the grave. He rose from the grave. God resurrected him from the grave. As Paul the Apostle writes, death has no mastery over Jesus. Amen? Death has no, say it with me, death has no mastery over Jesus. He was risen from the dead. He was raised up from the dead. Amen? And that's what we celebrated yesterday. You see, Jesus, in his resurrection, proved that he was stronger than death. He proved that death had no grip over him. He proved that death was under his feet. Let me ask you this. Did you know that you and I in Christ also have victory over death? Did you know that you and I in Christ also have victory over death? You might not know that, but you have victory in Christ over death. How is that? How do you have victory over death in Christ? See, he writes in Romans 6, 9 that death no longer has any mastery over Jesus. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Death, if we're in Christ, has no mastery over you and me. What does that mean to you? Any responses? What does it mean that death has no mastery over you? That it's under your feet? We're not talking about physical death, right? Because we know that every single human being on the face of this earth dies. But what kind of death no longer has mastery over us? What kind of death no longer has mastery over us in Christ Jesus? Eternal death. Amen? Friends, we have been saved from eternal death by faith in Jesus Christ. Just as death no longer has mastery over Jesus, if you and I are in Christ Jesus, then eternal death no longer has mastery over us. Amen?
Amen.
We have defeated by Christ Jesus eternal death and damnation. You know, before you and I gave our lives to Jesus Christ, we were spiritually dead. Would you agree? Your spirit was dead, headed for eternal death. But after accepting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, we were made spiritually alive, headed for eternal life in heaven. Therefore, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anybody is in Christ Jesus, he is what? He is a brand new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. The old man, the old life has gone, it has died, and you have become a new person in Jesus Christ. You have been given new spiritual life in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Is that making sense? Yes. So we've defeated death by faith in Christ, because we've defeated eternal death, because when we die on this earth, we slip into eternity in heaven to be with God and with Jesus forever. That's good news, right?
Yeah.
But think about this. We always think about eternal death far away. Oh, well, I'm only 30 years old. I'm only 25 years old. I'm only 40 years old. I'm only 50 years old. And I've got another 10, 20, 30, 40 years on this earth. And when I die on this earth, then I'll enter eternal life with God and with Jesus. But did you know, now think about this, did you know actually eternal life begins right on this earth? You might be thinking today, what? Friends, that is exactly correct. Eternal life by faith in Christ begins right on this earth after you accept Jesus Christ. Let's turn to 1 John 5, if you have a Bible. 1 John 5. 1 John 5. If anybody has a Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 5, and I'll show this to you today. 1 John 5, verses 11 through 12, and this is what he writes. This is the testimony, 1 John 5:11. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son, now listen to this, verse 12, has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. This word for life in the original Greek is what? He who has the Son has what kind of life? Has Zoe life. That's what he's saying. He who has the Son has Zoe life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have Zoe life. What is Zoe life? You might have heard of this before. Zoe life is the life of God. If you have the Son, Jesus Christ, in your life, if He's your best friend, if He is your Savior and your Lord, you have the Zoe life of God on the inside of you. What is Zoe life? Zoe life is our future life in heaven, which we now have in Christ. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, eternal life began for you right here on this earth. Let me say it again. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, the Zoe life of God entered your life immediately. Eternal life began for you on this earth as soon as you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And it continues when you physically die in this body. Isn't that good news? What does that go to say to us as believers in Christ? What does that go to say? That goes to say that we can have a taste of heaven on this earth. We can have a taste of the benefits of heaven right in the here and the now. You can have a taste of heaven in 2011. Amen? You can have a taste of eternal life right now, friends. God wants to give you a taste of His joy. He wants to give you a taste of His peace, which will be in heaven forever one day. He wants to give you a taste of physical healing and wholeness. He wants to give you a taste of financial provision. He wants to give you a taste of reconciled relationships. You can have a taste of the eternal life, which you will experience forever, right here on this earth. And you receive that life when you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Say it with me. I received the Zoe life of God when I accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. That's good news, isn't it? All right, now think about this. I've done a lot of one-on-one evangelism here on the streets in downtown Tulsa. And one of the questions I often ask the people are, you know, are you going to heaven one day? Sir, Jack, Jane, do you know if you're going to heaven one day? And they'll respond this way. You know, yeah, sure I know I'm going to heaven. How do you know? Because I'm a good person. And then we explain to them, but it's not by good works that you go to heaven. What is it? How is it that we go to heaven? We go to heaven by faith in Jesus Christ, by trusting and depending on Jesus Christ alone. And oftentimes when we explain this to the people, they're there listening and we say a salvation prayer with them. And there's people out there that have no concept of the gospel. I don't know if I'm going to heaven one day. I mean, how do I get to heaven? Friend, it's by faith in Christ. Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? A lot of times they'll say, no, I haven't. Would you like to pray a prayer? Yes. And a lot of times I've asked people this question. I pray the salvation prayer as they pray the prayer to accept Jesus as Savior and Lord. They pray, and I ask them afterwards, how did you feel when you accepted Jesus as your Savior? And you know what they say? I felt real good on the inside. I felt a peace on the inside that surpasses any human understanding. I felt really good on the inside. What is that? When a person who does not have Christ prays and receives Christ and they have a feeling of peace and joy and satisfaction on the inside, what is that on the inside of them as they pray? That is the Holy Spirit. It's the Zoe life of God coming into them. It's the eternal life of God coming into them beginning right now here on this earth. Say it with me today. Eternal life has begun for me at the point that I accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord. Amen? That's good news. Okay. But in order for this Zoe life of God to come into your life and for you to receive eternal life, this Jesus who rose from the dead 2,000 years ago has got to become what in your life? What does Jesus have to become in your life? In order for you to receive this Zoe life, this eternal life here on this earth and forevermore when you leave this earth, what does Jesus have to become in your life?
You got to accept
Jesus. Our Lord.
Jesus has got to become Savior and Lord. What does it mean to have Jesus as Savior? What does it mean to you to have Jesus Christ as Savior of your life? Let's look at what it says here in the Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus. Matthew chapter 2. If you got a Bible, turn there. If not, I'll just read it. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. This is what he writes. Not Matthew 2, but I believe it's the other gospel. Bear with me here for just a sec. It is, I'm sorry, Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Luke 2, 11. Matthew 2 is a good chapter, but we're talking about Luke 2, 11. It says this, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." This is the angels speaking to the shepherds. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Jesus Christ wants to be what in your life? For you to receive the Zoe life of God, for you to receive life in your spirit, for you to receive eternal life here on this earth, which will continue forever, what does Jesus want to be in your life? He wants to be Savior and what?
The Lord.
Lord. What does Savior mean? What has Jesus saved us from?
Saved us from our sin.
He has saved us from the grip of sin. With Jesus in your life, He gives you the strength to say no to sin. You know that little thing on bumper stickers that says, "Say no to drugs"? Right? Say no to drugs. Well, with Jesus on the inside, you can say no to sin. Amen? He has saved us from sin and from death. All right? He wants to be more than Savior in your life. What else does He want to be? Jesus wants to be Savior and Lord. What does Lord mean?
Supreme
in authority. It means controller. The one in charge of every part of your life. You know, a lot of people out there, when we minister the gospel, I'll ask them, I said, "How do you know that you're going to heaven one day?" Because Jesus Christ is my Savior. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. But He wants to be more than just Savior in your life. He wants to be Lord. He wants to be King over all your life. He wants to be in control and in charge of every single part of your life, friends. Lord means ruler. It means what now? Okay, he says it means Heavenly Father. But Lord means King, ruler, supreme in authority. A lot of people have this mindset, and this might be you. This is my life. I believe in Jesus. Some of you might think, "I believe in Jesus. But this is my life. I want to do some of the things with my life that I want to do. I want to take a drink occasionally and get drunk. You know, I may want to do drugs occasionally, or I might want to, you know, sleep around just every so often once in a while. You know, I may want to cuss somebody out who gets me mad every so often." But friends, you know what? This is not your life. In Christ, your life is no longer your own. Let me say it again. In Christ, your life is no longer your own. When you said, "Jesus, I give my life to you, be my best friend, I depend on you, I trust in you, Jesus, I put my all into your hands," your life is no longer your own. If you're really in Christ, who does your life belong to? It belongs to Jesus Christ. How many here drive a car? How many here like to drive? Have driven in the past a car, a motorcycle, a bike? You know, a lot of times, look at your life as a car, as an automobile. And a lot of times, people want to be in the driver's seat of their own car, their own life. Man, this is my life. Let me do with my life, God, what I want to do with it sometimes. Let me do drugs occasionally. I'd like to get drunk. Not every day, but just occasionally I want to get drunk, God. Or do drugs or sleep around with somebody who's not my spouse, friends. You're in the driver's seat of your own life. But guess what? There's somebody else who wants to be in the driver's seat of your life. And guess who he is? We're talking about him today. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ wants the steering wheel in your life. Amen? Amen. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
Say it with me today. Jesus Christ wants the steering wheel of my life. He wants to be Lord of my life. And friends, I encourage you today, make him Lord of your life, ruler, the one in charge of your life, the one who is driving your life, maneuvering your life, in charge of your life, taking the steering wheel of your life. I've said this before, God is not obligated to bless anybody. God is not obligated to bless anyone who is saying, get out of my life, God. God, I want to do with my life what I want to do with it. God is not obligated to bless you financially, health-wise, emotionally, because you're rebelling against him. God does not bless a rebellious spirit. God does not bless a prideful spirit. What does the Bible say in James? It says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to whom? He gives grace to the humble. It takes humility to say, God, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Take charge of my life. I surrender to you. I bow to you. I submit to you. That takes humility, friends. That's the attitude that God blesses, is an attitude of humility. Amen?
Amen.
You might be in the driver's seat of your life today, driving your own life, maneuvering your life, doing with your life what you want to do with it. But guess what? Jesus wants to be there. If you truly want to experience the Zoe life of God, if you truly want to experience a taste of eternal life on this earth, then make Jesus your Savior and your Lord. Now, let me make a note here. We don't accept Jesus Christ just to go to heaven one day, right?
We accept Jesus to bless us through our life of sin and tribulations.
We accept Jesus Christ. That's it. We accept Jesus Christ because we truly love him. We love him because he what? He first
loved
us. He went to the cross for you and me. He saved us from an eternal hell, from damnation. And because of that, we love him. Amen. And we want to say, Jesus, I want relationship with you. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be my Lord. And because of that, because you make him Savior and Lord, he gives you the gift of eternal life. Amen. He gives you Zoe life that you can experience here on this earth. Is that making sense today? He loves you so very much.